Do you ever wonder how birds survive bitter storms like the ones we had this week? I actually think about it a lot. And as I watched the chickadees return to my feeders as the snow was winding down, I was amazed once again by the tenacity of those tiny, fragile, almost weightless creatures that animate the snow-white world in winter with color, song, and fantastic flight. Now, I know there are those that perish. We've heard a lot about that recently. We've lost a lot of our songbirds in the last 30 years. But some persevere, and life goes on. And to quote the ancient Greek statesman Cicero, where there is life, there is hope. Inspired by the birds outside her windows, Emily Dickinson wrote, and probably one of the most famous poems about hope ever written, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. The sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash a little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb from me." There is something buoyant and uplifting about hope that perches there on the soul, that can keep the heart alight. And so there's kind of this light, bouncy, almost weightless feeling about it, like a little bird. But hope inspires strength and courage, too. With a song strong enough to cut through the storms of life that rage around us. And we know that our little bird friends are quite strong and tenacious, especially for their size, and that their songs can be piercing. We can hear them. They can help keep us on course, pointing us towards the things that we hold dear, even when it means heading right back out into the sea. It seems to me that hope is a lot like that quetzal bird heading back into the fire saying, "I'm doing the best I can with what I have in the service of ensuring for generations to come this life that we hold so dear." Hope invites us to turn towards courage, even in the face of fear. Hope invites us to turn towards possibility, even in the face of overwhelming odds. Hope invites us, yes, to turn towards life, even in the face of death. In the diary she kept while she was in hiding from the Nazis with her family, Anne Frank wrote, "Where there's hope, there's life. Where there's hope, there's life. It fills us with fresh courage and makes us strong again." It seems that Anne Frank knew that we need hope to stay connected to and fighting for life, even in the face of fear, suffering, and yes, even death. She lived hidden away in that attic for 2 years. And imagine it was hope that kept her going, finding fresh courage and strength in the dawning of each new day. And maybe the birds outside her window. Hope is the ability to see the bigger picture, knowing that life is filled with horror and wonder, suffering and joy. Where there is death and destruction, cruelty and injustice, there is also new life and possibility to be found. In her book, Almost Everything, Notes on Hope, Annie Lamont says that life is a paradox, and knowing that turns out to be a reason for hope. Knowing how to hold all of it turns out to be a reason for hope. She writes, paradox is an invitation to go deeper into life, to see a bigger picture screen instead of the nice, safe, lower left quadrant where you see only work, home, and community. Try a wider reality, she says, through curiosity, awareness, and breath. Try actually being here. Hope is the ability to see this both and of life as it is, rather than the small little bit of the world that we choose to focus on. Hope is both a shift in perspective, and my friends, it can be a choice. We can choose to turn towards something larger than what we've been focusing on. Annie Lamont continues, every day we're in the grip of the impossible conundrum, the truth that it's over in the blink of an eye and we may be near the end, and that we have to live as if it's going to be okay, no matter what. This is where new beginnings and hope emerge, side by side with the dark and scrambled. My colleague Fred Muir believes that hope is at the center of our Unitarian Universalist faith. He writes, to be hopeful means to feel expansive, to feel no constraint, to go beyond the limits and embrace a wider view, to think beyond the boundaries. The word liberal literally means to be open-minded. And as a liberal religious tradition, we're called to keep our minds and hearts open to new perspectives, new possibilities. We're called to open our eyes to what is, with the willingness to embrace what can be. Fred Muir puts it this way, the hope that is Unitarian Universalism lives in the present with an eye to the future. This week I noticed that the movie based on Bryan Stevenson's book, the fellow that we just saw, the professor from NYU Law, the movie that's based on his book, Just Mercy, will be released on Christmas Day. And I thought, wow, how appropriate is that? Since Christmas celebrates hope for the world in the guise of a newborn baby. And so much of Bryan Stevenson's work is grounded in a profound, amazing, almost unbelievable sense of hope. Just Mercy is filled with David and Goliath stories. Stories of people standing toe-to-toe with the death-dealing machine that has become our criminal justice system. Bryan Stevenson talks a lot about the statistics, the numbers. In 1972, there were 300,000 people in prison in this country, not all that long ago. Today, the number has skyrocketed to well over 2.3 million. And I'm sure it's actually much larger than that, because that was at the time that he wrote this book, which was several years ago. The U.S., the United States of America, has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. Many of you probably already know that, but it's something worth reminding ourselves about again and again. And that number reflects disproportionately the impact on communities of color. The Bureau of Justice now predicts that 1 in 3 black male babies born in this country is expected to go to jail or prison during his lifetime. For Latino boys, it's 1 in 6, and for all Americans, it's 1 in 15. These numbers are, I think, staggering. They reveal the racial inequality that has been present since the founding of our United States. It's just morphed from one way of enslaving people to another. And it's hard to fathom that a book based on a story about discrimination, systemic racism, and injustice could be so filled with hope. But these stories are just as much, if not more so, about empowering people, affirming their worth and dignity, their humanity, giving them hope, and being inspired by their dignity to continue in the struggle. And Bryan Stevenson is a case in fact on that point. His hope-filled experiences begin with his very first encounter with a prisoner on death row. After his first year of law school, Bryan Stevenson served as an intern at the Southern Prisoners Defense Committee in Atlanta, Georgia. Can you imagine going from law school in Boston down to Atlanta? He was raised in Delaware, so he wasn't really familiar with the culture of the Deep South. His first assignment was to meet with a condemned man who had been on death row for over 2 years without any representation whatsoever. And after carefully rehearsing what he's going to say to this man on the long car ride down to Jackson, he feels so inadequate to the task that the first words out of his mouth upon meeting this man who's named Henry is simply, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." When Bryan finally tells Henry what he's come to say, which is that Henry's not at risk of an execution anytime within the next year, Henry is so relieved that he grabs Bryan's hands and says, "Thank you, man. Thank you so much. I mean, really, thank you. That's such great news." And as he begins to relax, he continues, "You are the first person I've met in over 2 years after coming to death row who is not another death row prisoner or a death row guard. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad to get this news." Bryan Stevenson becomes hope personified for this man whose humanity has been denied for so long. And it's not just the news about his case that brings Henry hope. It's the act of being seen, really seen, by another human being, as a human being, that is life-affirming for Henry. This is how Bryan describes Henry when he first meets him. He says, "He was a young, neatly groomed African-American man with short hair, clean-shaven, medium frame and build, wearing bright white prison clothes. He looked immediately familiar to me, like everyone I'd grown up with, friends from school, people I'd played sports or music with, someone I'd talked to on the street about the weather." Bryan Stevenson sees this man as someone who's a lot like him, and on that very first meeting, the blinders come off for both men, seeing more life, more possibility, more hope in the world because of the connection that they're making. And as Henry is being cuffed, shackled, and treated roughly by a guard at the end of their visit, Bryan says, "I didn't like the way Henry was being treated, but he continued to smile until just before the guard could push him fully out of the room. He planted his feet to resist the officer's shoving. He looked so calm. Then he did something completely unexpected. I watched him close his eyes and tilt his head back. It was confusing. I was confused by what he was doing. But then he opened his mouth and I understood. And he began to sing. He had a tremendous baritone voice that was strong and clear. It startled both me and the guard, who stopped his pushing. And Henry sang, 'I am pressing on an upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.' Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." Filled with hope, Brian Stevenson continues, I experienced this song as a precious gift. I had come into the prison with such anxiety and fear about his willingness to tolerate my inadequacy. I didn't expect him to be compassionate or generous. I had no right to expect anything from a condemned man on death row. And yet he gave me an astonishing measure of his humanity. In that moment, Henry altered something in my understanding of human potential, redemption, and hopefulness. He concludes by saying, law school had seemed abstract and disconnected before, but after meeting the desperate and imprisoned, it all became relevant and critically important. Brian Stevenson has learned to see the connections between us all. And since that first meeting, Brian Stevenson's been inspired by hope, I think, to argue and win cases all the way up to the Supreme Court on behalf of people who've been denied their full humanity. And he remains hopeful. At the premiere of the movie, based on his book, he said, we can change things. We can expect more. We can do more. I hope together we can actually create a more just world. And as he says in the video clip, yes, the problems are complex. But we're called to keep our minds and hearts attuned to that bigger picture of our common humanity and work for more human decency and more justice in the world. And I love this. Brian says, hope is our superpower. He says, don't let anybody or anything make you hopeless. He says, hope is the enemy of injustice. Little old hope perched there on the soul. Stevenson says, hope is what will get you to stand up when people tell you to sit down. I hope it can help us all to keep our eyes on that prize. I'd like to close with the words that were included from one of the members of the Church of the Larger Fellowship. Many members of the Church of the Larger Fellowship are incarcerated in prison, and they find this ministry is a way to connect. And oftentimes there are pieces written by prisoners in the Quest, which is the monthly newsletter of the Church of the Larger Fellowship. And this is what John had to say about freedom. Outside my window, past the razor wire and fence, lies a ridge. A quartet of blue jays and a woodpecker live in the scrub oak on the left. A chorus of cardinals and a hawk inhabit the explosion of evergreens on the right. Occasionally, the hawk presents himself for a show, gliding in graceful circles, executing rolls and dives no human pilot can ever duplicate. I point out the trees and birds to my friend, but he can't see them. All he can see is the fence that tightens daily around his world. How sad it is to see only the fence and miss the beauty of the moment. There are many, many ways to be in prison, my friends, and many ways to seek and see hope in the world. This morning, I invite you to look beyond the razor wire binding your heart and mind. Look to the sky for all that is on the wing, for all the beauty that is green and growing that connects our hearts and souls, giving us fresh courage and renewed strength to do the best we can with what we have in the service of more life, more love, more justice, more peace. That's hope. May it be so. Blessed be.